Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
At the beginning of the year, I'm so glad that we have this series planned where we're going to be going through the mission statement of our church, our vision statement of our church, and it's this. With God's help, we embrace and connect with all people and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. This vision statement is what guides us. It's why we do anything. It's why we have, you know, fun in worship. It's why we create spaces where kids don't feel like they're an afterthought, but the first thought. That is why we do anything. It's why we give away Christmas presents. It's why we buy all the turkeys for the turkey trot at Medilla Elementary. It's why we do what we do. It is our engine. Last week, I was so sick. I have never been this sick for so long ever. I got sick on vacation, which not recommend that at all. Worse, I was on vacation in Oklahoma, which I don't know if you've ever been, but it's all right. There are worse places. I just can't think of them. Brahms is great. I've been told I couldn't have any. I was too sick. But I was so sick, and I was barely awake when live stream happened, but then I got to listen to the podcast afterwards. I'm so glad that we've got friends like Rick Gebauer, who came and preached for us. And absolutely. Give it up for Rick. Rick is such a gift. I listened to the podcast. He called me confetti, which I've never been called confetti before, but I like it. You guys can call me Pastor Confetti if you want. That makes me really happy. I think he nailed it. I like being that sort of space. And then during this week, I was able to hear this message that he shared, which really stuck with me, is that hatred is never as loud as love. I love that. Hatred is never as loud as love. And hatred gets a lot of airtime, a lot of screen time. You will hear hatred promoted, for lack of a better term, but love is always louder. And this week has been hard for me, friends. I don't know if it's been hard for you, but it has been hard to watch the news. It's been hard to be in a community. It's been hard. And to know that love is still louder than all the hatred that I see, it has really helped me. So I'm grateful for Rick. I'm grateful to be a part of a church that will speak up for that truth, that love is louder than hatred. And I pray that we can continue to lean into that. So our live stream was down last week, total bummer. Our internet was out, which really stunk, but our podcast was still around. Our podcast is uploaded every week. Even if there's no internet here, we're still able to upload our podcast thanks to our tech director, Tom Wright. So if you are ever not here and you still want to stay connected to the life of this church, I want to encourage you to use our podcast. It's called It's Better When You're Here. And you can find it on any place that you get a podcast. This is a commercial. I don't care. And it's a way for you to listen to what the message is. You know, worship is not just the message. It's the sacrament. It's the people that you see. It's the singing. It's all of those things. But the sermon does help because it shares kind of the heart of who we are. So I highly encourage you, if you ever have to miss worship or you get to miss worship because you're going to the beach or something, download the podcast so you can still be a part of the community. All right. That's the end of my commercial, I promise. So in our mission, when we talk about light, the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ, the light part of that means encountering how our lives can change because of Jesus. As shepherds, as this church community, we walk into this tension that you are not too far gone and that you can come back home. This reality, there's a lot of churches that create a space where you're not really welcome until you tidy up a little bit. We need you to get your life put back together a little bit before you show up and start muddying up our church community. That's not us. And then there's also this other kind of flavor of church where, hey man, you're good. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. You know, tithe for sure, but just be nice. And, you know, don't worry about it. You're okay. We exist within this middle space, this tension. You don't need to tidy up a thing before you get here. All of us are broken in our own way, and perfect people will actually be much more comfortable at another church. And you really do not need to get your life put back together before you show up. Thank God, because there are some Sundays when I show up where my life is not put together and I got to preach. And so this is the space that we exist. We don't exist over here, and we also don't exist over here, where we say, you know, everything's fine, don't worry about it, don't feel the need to change. Because I don't know about you, but when I watch the news, when I walk into my community, when I'm a part of the world around me, I think, this isn't how it's supposed to be. This isn't how it could be. Things could be better. And I know that the only way that things change is if I start changing myself. I know this is heavy really early, but we got to find this third way. We got to be in this space between the two, where we're not just saying that everyone is wrong and we're not just saying that everyone is fine, but this somewhere space in between. You're not too far gone and you can come back home. Our passage today is from John chapter 1. I love John chapter 1. If you've never read the Bible before, but you're wanting to get into it, I want to encourage you to start reading at John chapter 1. It's a banger. It is a sort of story that creates a narrative where all of us are involved, and we're going to be reading a short portion from that today. So we're going to be reading from verse 9 onward, if you want to turn in your Bibles, your digital Bibles or your paper ones. John chapter 1, verse 9. Here at Shepherd's, we have this tradition where the reader of God's word will say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. And then all of you will say, thanks be to God. But we like to add a little extra oomph on the end. So we add the word woo. So be ready to say woo. All right. Hear the word of the Lord. The true light shines on all people. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. Why do we do that? We do that because when we read God's word, it really is like a gift. Like, we're getting a little glimpse into who God is. We get to see God's nature, and man, it can really sound boring. You know, you can read scripture in such a way that it really does not apply to you at all. But here at Shepherd's, the only reason why we're reading scripture is because we want our hearts changed and our world to change because of it. And that's good news, man. And so I like to say woo sometimes, and that's why we do that. So anyways, in case you're curious, that's why we do that. So in this passage, we're reading about the world. I grew up in a tradition called fundamentalism. And then after we left fundamentalism, I got real liberal and became Southern Baptist. thank you. And so really grew up in this tradition that's very different than the United Methodist Church. Grew up in this world where the world was the boogeyman. Anything bad was the world. Anything not Christian was the world. So we would do cool things like we would have bonfires and throw our secular CDs into the fire. You know, just to show God our devotion, we'd throw our Nelly CD into the fire. I'm aging myself. Nelly was like a musician, I'm telling the younger people. Yeah, sure you do. You don't know. one Band-Aid. You'd throw the, you know, into the fire to show your devotion and how your heart was going to be changed. And we were like the OG cancel culture too. Like, we'd find out some company did one thing that we didn't like, and then we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't go to Disney World anymore. We wouldn't watch Disney Channel. My parents at one point threw the cable box into the front yard because my sisters were allegedly watching MTV, because that's what our faith was. It was who we weren't, right? We were very clear that the world was not coming into our house. And then we would also try to change our friends. We would witness to them and try to get them to turn from their evil life of saying a curse word every other month and we were going to change them, right? That was who the world was. The enemy was at the gate. That's what the world was. And I wonder, I mean, you can read this passage and that's how you can see it if you want. But I wonder if we could see it a different way today. I want you to see this passage and read this passage in this way. That the world is whatever keeps you thinking you are on your own. Because, you know, it's easy for me to kind of, you know, badmouth the way that I was raised. It's easy for me to kind of punch down at that. But man, those people loved me well. The Baptist church that I grew up in, man, everyone was so excited to see little Mike. And when I became an annoying middle schooler, they were still nice to me. They didn't have to be, but they were. They created space for me, and man, I can read the Bible. Like, we did these things called sword drills, where like someone would say a Bible passage and your hands would be up, and then you got to like find the passage. Y'all Methodists, y'all don't know that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can find 2 Timothy right now. Put money on the table. And, you know, don't do that. That's not allowed. And that is that space that I was able to walk into. And I get the fear around the world because the world can be vexing and confusing. But I wonder if we can read this passage differently and see that the world is just anything that convinces you you are on your own. Because when I read this passage, not only do I know that I have a church community around me, but I also, y'all, I have the God of the universe. What's it say? It says the light came to his own people and his own people didn't welcome him. He came and made his home among us. The God of the universe came into the world and took on fingernails and receding hairlines and acid reflux and splinters and chose to live among us. We are not on our own. Do y'all hear that? We are not on our own. So when we read about the world rejecting this light, the world doesn't recognize Jesus because Jesus proves we are not alone. Regardless of where you are, what stage of life you're in, if 2026 has started terribly for you, or if 2025 was pushed out as soon as it could for you in your life, you are not alone. The thing I'm going to say a lot today, the thing that you can put in your digital notes, if you would like, we have digital notes in our Church Center app, is this: to shine the light, this church, we must be full of both grace and truth. To shine the light, we must be full of both grace and truth. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. So in this passage, it talks a little bit about salvation. I got taught that salvation was about saving my soul. I became very focused on my own soul because I grew up in a church, told me a lot about hell, and I didn't know a lot about it. I just knew I didn't want to go. And so I began becoming very focused on my own soul, worried that maybe if I died tonight, where would I go? And I wanted to know. I wanted to have that cornered. I wanted to have a good answer for that. I was 7, but I wanted to know because, man, you know, I didn't know where we were going for supper after church, but I needed to know where my soul was going. And so became very focused on that. And I wonder, and I began to read the Bible more, and the more I read the Bible, the more I realize that salvation doesn't stop at our soul. It goes beyond that. In this passage, it says the light comes into the world. The light doesn't just come into my life and change my soul and change where I go when I die. It comes into the world. Every corner, every dark space, the light shines into that as well. You see, I became so myopic. I had this singular view of my own salvation. I missed out on so many other things because all I was thinking about was my own soul. But friends, the world is much bigger than my own soul. The world is bigger than just my own life. I've become convinced that salvation is more than just saving one soul. It's about making the family of God huge. Making the family of God such that everyone that the light shines on knows that they are welcomed and they are called and that they can come back home. Salvation becomes so much more than that. So if we understand that salvation is more than just saving one soul, but saving them all, then we begin to ask this question. The question we must ask ourselves is this: if this message is for everyone, then where is everyone? If this message is for everyone, then where is everyone? There's a quote from a mentor of someone I look up to named Matt Majofsky. He's a pastor in St. Louis. And he, like here at Shepherd's, we're creating a church that welcomes all people, and he's doing that same thing in St. Louis, and began to realize that if this door is wide open, if this message is for everyone, then where is everyone? That's the question we must ask ourselves. To shine the light, we must be full of both grace and truth. I think the answer to that question is from us. You see, the call is coming from inside the church when it comes to answering that question. The call is coming from inside the church. If we are going to really find the answer as to where everyone is, then we have to look within ourselves. Yeah, this is great. Thank you. I'm going to cancel our ChatGPT subscription or whatever it is. Thank you so much, Tom. The call is coming from inside the church. So often, it's so easy for the church to look on the outside for the reasons why there are less people in church. The Generation Z, the generation that's younger than me, the fastest growing religion amongst them are the nuns. Not the N-U-N's, but the N-O-N-E's, the ones that have so little faith they can't even say that they're atheist. That's how distanced they are from faith. They have none. Maybe Christmas, maybe Easter, they're mostly brunch, right? They've got none as their religion. The reason why that church, that religion is growing so fast, it's easy for the church to say, well, it's because of the MTV. It's because of the internet. It's because of the Eggs Benedict that they offer at brunch. It's because of this, it's because of that. But friends, the call is coming from inside the church. See, the church has offered two flavors right now. And one flavor is so condemning that no one wants to be a part of that. You identify all the ways that people are failing. You identify all the things that you are not. You identify all the things that aren't welcome in your space. All of a sudden, the list becomes shorter and shorter and shorter of who is actually welcomed. The church builds such a high wall that no one thinks that they could ever climb over. One of my favorite things that happens here at Shepherd's is people will come in, and people really do say this. They're like, I can't believe I didn't get struck by lightning when I came in this building, or I didn't catch on fire. And then they hear me say like two words, and they're like, well, if he's in, he's fine. I'm fine. And I love knowing that this is a space where the door is wide open. But then the other flavor of church that keeps getting offered in this world is that everyone is just so fine that it's okay. Don't worry. Don't feel like you need to change. Everything's all right. That you begin to wonder, so why do we go to church? Like, if everything's okay, like if I'm okay and you're okay and we're all okay together, then why am I waking up early on the last day of my weekend? And the church has offered these two flavors, and most people are saying, I'll pass. Here at Shepherd's, we're talking about our definition, our vision statement, who we are. We have to offer something else. Literally, for heaven's sake, we must find a third way. Away from condemnation, universal condemnation, but also away from this false idea that everything is hunky-dory and fine, that the world will get better at some point, but we don't know how it's going to happen. This third space lets us know that, yes, we are called and loved by God, and yes, we can change. A mentor of mine once said that the evangelical church needs to be reminded that they have been saved, and that Methodists need to be reminded that we have been saved from something. You know, friends, like, the way that the world is not how it's meant to be. The way that I was before Christ changed my life is not the way that I want to return to. There's a space between condemnation and everything is just fine. We have to find that third space. And to shine the light of Christ, we must be full of both grace and truth. So how do we do that? How do we become a church of grace and truth? Well, a church of grace has a wide open door. a wide open door that welcomes all people. Now, most churches are going to say that everyone is welcome, and they're not intentionally misleading you. It just happens to not be the whole truth. If you say that everyone is welcome, and then there's rules and regulations over what sort of families are welcome, what sort of people are welcome, then you're not really welcoming all people. And at this church, we do actually welcome all people. The door is wide open. But again, just a little bit of church business. And again, if this is your first Sunday, I promise we don't talk about ourselves this much. But to be fair, it is a sermon series on our mission statement, so I guess it would be a little navel-gazy. We do have a wonderful, wide-open front door. But y'all, we do also have a wide-open back door. What do I mean by that? Well, it's a great church. You can come, and you can be here for a couple of weeks. And then you begin to wonder, would anyone notice if I stopped coming? I know that that pastor guy would probably hunt me down, grab me by the ankle, and talk to me, because that's just the way that he is, that confetti guy. You know, he'll definitely sort of create that space. But if I didn't show up, would anyone other than the pastor notice? I don't know. Friends, cards on the table. I'll say the quiet part out loud. Shepherds, in some ways, is a church where you can come and then you can disappear. We got to change that. We got to change who we are. And I'll tell you how I think we can do that. But we got to close the back door. And a church of truth means a church where lives will change. I know that that happens. I know that people come into these rows, into this building, into our other campus, and they leave changed. They leave encouraged. They leave with a little bit of grace in God, in the sacrament that they carry into the world. I know that lives are being changed, and we can continue to grow in that as well. We do this well, and we can also grow. You see, to shine the light, we must be full of both grace and truth. See, if we grow in truth, we will close the back door. If all of us will own our call to share the light, the world will change. If all of us will own our call to share the light, the world will change. If we are willing to own this calling that we have, we read in John chapter 1 that the light came and shone among us, that we were called children of God. We carry the light. If we can walk in truth and grace, we will be able to shine the light. I love connecting. I am on this planet to meet people and walk people home. That is why I'm here. To walk each other home. I'm here to listen, and I'm here to help people find their way home. That's why God made me, and I'm so grateful that I get to do that. And practically speaking, I cannot be the only connection point for people in this church. I love being the connection point, but I am finite, and I'm also not that cool. You can just get a tattoo. They don't make you pass a test or anything. Like, they don't make you, like, name five songs of the band. If you pay them, they will make you look a little bit cooler over and over and over again, okay? And so I cannot be the main connection point. And I know some of you might be introverted, might be a little bit quieter, might not feel like you know what to say. I want you to know that every last one of us can be the reason why someone comes back to Shepherds. If you've been here for more than 6 months, you've heard me tell the story of a man named Shane Sagaski. Shane Sagaski was the coolest high school senior at Lake Wales High. I was the dorkiest high school freshman at Lake Wales High, and Shane Sagaski always had a seat next to him for me in the lunchroom. Now, with hindsight, I can look back and realize that Shane was not cool. It is not actually that cool to listen to that much ska. It is not actually that cool to play that much Final Fantasy. It is actually not that cool to play the trombone or the bass. Bass is so cool, Alex. It really is, especially when you play for us. But Shane was always excited to see me, and someone I went to high school is here, and they can tell you how annoying I was. And I'm not going to point them out because I don't want you to find out, because I've been able to cultivate an aura, and I want to hold on to that. And I was so annoying, and I cringed to think about the things that I said, and Shane was always laughing at the stupid things that I said. Shane was always curious as to what I was up to. Shane picked me up and took me to church. He had this cool, like, blue car that, like, sounded loud. I don't know if that was on purpose or if it was just broken. And he would take me to church. He would listen to me ramble on about Lord knows what, and he would help me, you know, he would play Reliant K in the car so I could be just a little bit cooler. And he created that space for me. He was my reason why. And Shane very tragically passed away in his 20s. It was such a tragedy, such a terrible thing. And he is a saint that I call on now. That when I need to be a welcoming space for someone else, I don't pray to Shane, but I think of him. I think of his easy, calm. He was an introverted guy. He was not annoying like me. He was calm, quiet, reserved. He created space for others. And when I need to do that for someone else, I think of Shane. And I share his light. Can I tell you how low the bar is to be someone's reason? The bar is so low. Learn their story. Ask them a question about them. Be curious, be quiet, be happy. Create that space for someone. I can't tell you how much this neighborhood would change if all of us could just have a drop of that Shane Sagaski, of that reason why. If we could just have one moment where we were the reason why for someone else. Practically speaking, when I come in, the train slowed me down today, but when I come in, I've got 7 or 8 minutes. I've got 2 or 3 conversations before worship starts. And after worship, I've got 5 or 6, depending on how quickly my 9-year-old is demanding that we leave for lunch. So for those keeping track at home, we're not at 10. We're not at 10 conversations that I can have, but how many conversations can all of us have together? How many of us can be the reason why someone comes back and experiences both truth and grace? Will you help me? Will you be the reason why? I love being the reason why. I'm so glad I'm on this planet. Will you help me? Because there are plenty of people that are home right now that think that no one would notice if they were here. Help me notice. Help me see them. Help me shine the light in the corners where the light has not reached just yet. Okay. To shine the light, we must be full of both grace and truth. So you've got 2 action points for you today, ways that you can put this sermon into action. You can not just hear it, but do it. The first is I want you to share the light. I want you to lean into one or the other. Maybe everyone is great and dandy and perfect and amazing, and you're just a little butterfly that sprinkles fairy dust everywhere you go. Lean in a little bit into truth. Stand up for yourself. Say the truth in love. Let people know when they could possibly shift or change how they are and make the world a bit of a better place. And maybe your morning coffee tastes like everyone's going to hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Slow down a little, all right? I think we've got enough truth out of you, all right? So maybe lean into grace just a little bit. Let something slide. Ask someone, wow, it is amazing that you think that. Tell me why, instead of correcting them and explaining why they are wrong. So share the light. Either lean into grace or lean in to truth. And the second one is simple. I want you to be the reason. Be the connection point for someone here. Someone you don't know. I have heard some of the worries are, what if this person has come forever, but like I wasn't here when they were here? And I say, how long have you been here? And they say, I've been here for 14 years and I'm acting like they're a new person. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Make a joke. Tell them that your name is Tim Jefferson and then run away. And then I'm gonna be like, man, that Tim guy is weird. Smoke bomb, vanish. Wouldn't it be so much better if someone made a fool of themselves, but also made you feel welcome? Be that reason why. Be curious. Let them know that you are a connection point for them. Be the connection point for someone here. Because our world needs a little bit of light. Our world is just a little bit darker. And this church, this community, can be that light. To shine the light, we must be full of both grace and truth. Friends, will you shine the light with me? Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.